Okay, we're going to go back to Galatians. We're going to be here for a while, a couple weeks maybe. Next week, I know for sure. So we're going to start back in Galatians 5. And I'm not going to go back up and start at the top or anything like that. I think we're going to start at, I'd like to start at just a little review. We're going to start in Galatians 5 and read verses 16 through 18. And it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Okay. And so it's very, very simple about the Spirit and flesh are contrary one to another. And you cannot mix them. They will not mix. Water or gas or water and oil will not mix. Neither will the spirit and the flesh, because they're opposite of each other. They're just contrary as can be. The Apostle Paul, you notice in everything that he has written, he continues to always stay the course of wherever he's speaking and writing these letters by. And he always, I notice that he emphatically points out how important it is to not only to hear the word, but to completely understand what God's word says. It's, you know, a lot of people hear it, but they don't really listen. But to completely understand what God's word says, of course, we've got to have the leading of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The works of the flesh, in the next verses on down, we're going to see that Paul states that the works of the flesh are manifest. What he means by this, that they're made clear and evident. There's no doubt about what he's talking about. And it's several definitions is obvious, or and one I like is they're made real, because these things are real. The works of the flesh are truly real. They're present. They're present in our life and our day, and they were present in Paul's day. And so we're going to read down to, and I will tell you this before we start. We're going to start in verse 19 to 21. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to spend any time on these, because these are the works of the flesh. I do not want to spend time talking about them. Some of these you might want to look up the meanings of them. That's up to you. And I thought about getting the meanings to all of them, but I'm not even going to do that, because really what I want to concentrate on tonight more than anything is I want to get to the message of the fruits of the Spirit. But we're going to read the difference. 19 through 21, chapter 5 of Galatians. And it says this: "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies." And in your margin, my margin has all the definitions, but we're not going to get into it. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. You think about some of these: wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Then we go down even further: envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I can tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul states truly and very plainly, if you understand English or the words, what he wrote down here, that because of all these things, if you do these things and that's what you live by, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Even if you think you're good in between whatever you're doing, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, Paul didn't spend a lot of time on this either. He went right to the good stuff, I call it. And so we're not going to spend a lot of time on those, but, you know, we just want to know that I want you to know the distinct differences. And Paul puts this out plainly. And I like what he does because he takes the time to take that section and tell you about them, but he doesn't spend time on them. He just lets you know that these things are happening and they're true of the flesh, but then he comes down to where he'd rather show the wonderful fruits of the Spirit. So that's where we're going to go to, verse 22. And we're going to start, the fruit of the Spirit is, I'm going to read through them first. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So these things, the fruits of the Spirit, we're going to start with the first one, which is love. And I have one thought on love. I looked at different commentaries about this, what love is. And, of course, we all think we know what love is. And, you know, when you're young, you think you're in your school, or, oh, I love you, and all that, you know, and this and that. But we really don't, even though we love one another, we love our spouses and our mothers and fathers and so forth, our family, but the love that he's speaking here of, that God has for us and showed his love by sending his son to Calvary, you think about that love, there is no greater love than that, what God has for us, that he loved us so much that he sent his begotten son down to earth to die for us, take our place. And so the intense feeling of deep affection is what I get out of this. And when I say deep, I mean it's deep. It's a deep, true affection of love that the Lord has for us. And that love that he has for us, that should radiate from us towards one another. And I want to go to 1 John. 1 John 4. And you all know this. Don did a series on this a while back, been a few months now. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then down in verse 19 it says, we love him because he first loved us. See, because we didn't even really know what love was. We had no idea what love was. And even if you start out until you accept Jesus Christ and realize what deep love that was for Jesus to come from glory all the way down here to take our place and die for us and to be raised up again. And we're raised up with him as we believe in him. And so it's a wonderful thing. This love is beyond all human, definition, I guess. People can't, they say they love, but they're human. The natural man, when he says he loves, it's funny because they could, you know, how many married couples you know that say they love each other and then next thing you know they're divorced. And if they really love somebody, you wouldn't think they would get divorced, right? And then they go off and they're off, they love somebody else. And then maybe they go on and they love somebody else. So they really don't know what true love is. And I think love is very important, and it's a very basis for why we come and study, why we come and hear the Word of God, because we love God and he loves us, and we love our Lord Jesus Christ because he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. 1 Corinthians. Just a few verses, and it's going to be long tonight, so we got a few to go through. I'm going to put a few more together next week, I think. But
First John, what verse did you read, please?
1 John 4:7-11.
Thank you.
And verse 19. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. And this is what I'm going to tell you. I thought it was kind of funny one. Because I started reading this, right? This is a love chapter. So I started reading it, and I realized that where do I start and where do I stop? So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and read. If we had plenty of time, I would sit here and read the whole thing. But I'll read a few of these things. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So Paul's really pointing out, what he's trying to point out is if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And so he goes on down and he talks about charity, profit me nothing. And then he said, charity, verse 4, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. And right there, that verse right there, that is the difference between spiritual love that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father than we do with our natural beings. Because the people of the world in their natural state, believe me, is not true. I mean, people go through all kinds of changes, and so charity suffereth long, and love suffereth long. And I mean, I'm not saying that you don't have relatives, or we're married for, like Jack and Erlene, a lot of years, I don't know, 60 years or whatever it was, 62. Now, that's love. I mean, right? That's a good example of love. So I'm not saying that it's because we're down here in a natural state, we don't love somebody, and we really do love them. But the love that they have, or had, or still have, is because they shared the love of Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. And that love was made precious by the Lord, and He willed it to be so. So that love was, it was real. And we all like to have that. And the only way we can have a real good relationship with our loved ones and so forth is that we all have to be on the same plane, and that is that we love our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father because they loved us first. And it says, doth not behave itself in 5, unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in rejoiceth in the truth. So these are just some of the things. He says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, that they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But he says here, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, in verse 11. And then he goes down through this, in verse 12, he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So the greatest is love. That's why I think Paul, when he wrote this, he wrote about love. He put it first in this fruits of the Spirit. And so, let's see. I want to go back here a little bit. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 6. And, you know, when Paul is talking in Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 6:9, he says this, know ye not that unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he tells why. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, he's talked about this before, and I just wanted to point that out. He mentions this several times about the difference of the fruits of the Spirit compared to the flesh. And in Romans 5:5, we'll just go back one more time to Romans. And I tell you what, you could read all of Romans 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. And I can read all of Romans, actually. Romans 5:5, it says, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith." Faith, the key denominator, right? I finally got that straight last week. That is the known denominator, faith. "Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. And this, number 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Yes. And so, there's so much here. And I mean, you could go on and on about the love, what love is. We know what love is because all of us know what Jesus and our Father has provided for us because of their perfect love. I'm going to read this one thing in Romans 8:13. It says, "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or make dead the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And that's very true, right? Very true. It's all we got to do, right? All we got to do is have faith, read the Word, stay in the Word, study the Word, and continue to put our faith and trust in our... Where am I going here? Oh, Galatians 2:20. I want to read this because I know Erling likes this verse, and really it kind of puts it in a nutshell kind of thing. Paul says this, he says, in verse 19, he says, "For if I through the law, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain." Righteousness cannot come by the law. We all know that. But he goes on to tell him, and when he says this here, that this verse 2:20 is really a powerful verse. And it really gets down to the meat of the situation. And he tells it how it is. And I think Paul, because you know when he wrote that, he was speaking from his heart. The love that he had, and the love that he had known from Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father. You know, Romans 5:6 says this, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So you see, you got to have faith, but faith worketh by love. You got to have the love of our Lord in your heart. You got to have the love our Father. You got to understand everything that's printed in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about God's love. And it starts with his love in a perfect Garden of Eden. Can you imagine being Adam and Eve walking with in the garden and God just starts talking to you and you're just talking to him like you're walking right beside him? I'm telling you, that'd be fantastic. And I know, I tell you this, this is faith I have, and I know you all do too. We're going to be there someday. We're going to be right with our Father. We're going to be right with our Lord. And we will be praising them and everything. I know we'll be learning and praising them and singing songs of glory to them. But I know that it's all going to be because of love. Ephesians 3:17. Erlene just read this not too long ago. This is important. He says here, 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in Ephesians 3. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. Why? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And verse 19, we'll go on down here. We'll read 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, it says that Christ may dwell on your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Very important. You got to be very important to be rooted and grounded in love. And, you know, to stay in the Word and continue to pray unto your Father, unto the Lord Jesus every day. That's how you stay. Kathy reads her devotion she testified about. That's how you stay grounded in love. You don't just say, I am grounded in love. You have to stay grounded in love. And it takes a work. You have to want to. And it should be easy for us to do that because we love our Lord. In closing, I want to read Ephesians 5. Erlene read this not too long ago. I don't know why, but these just seem to kind of fit in, Erlene. I'm not trying to follow you or anything, blissfully, but Ephesians verses 1 and 2. Chapter 5. Be their followers of God as dear children. And he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then he goes on down again to tell you that you can't do these bad things. So Paul, he's trying to tell as he goes along, he's real emphatic about this time that these are important. You cannot live in the flesh and the spirit. You've got to make a choice. And I tell you, I really spent a little time on love. I really didn't want to spend a whole bunch of time, but I thought it was very important about God's love and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he gave himself for us. And so, I mean, it's a deep love. You think about it. You really go, you meditate on what Paul's saying here. This is deep. This is not just about being, I mean, he talks about marriage in the natural, but he's trying to prepare you and show you that the marriage that we're going to have with our Lord, the bridal company, it's important. All this is pointing to something, and it all has to do with love. And love is the basis for all this. You know, Jesus gave himself for us. With what? His redeeming love. That's what he did. And that's what I have for tonight. Praise the Lord. And we'll go on with the rest of them next week. And then we'll probably finish up the next week. If the Lord permits. If the Lord tarries, we'll do that. If the Lord doesn't tarry, we'll...